Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Who are you?
This guy's my hero.
That's ridiculous.
He played for Millwall.
Oh my God.
The well-known midfielder.
Yeah. Never heard of him.
West Ham are European champions.
And the Intertoto Cup.
It's given me so much pleasure.
But you've got to be careful what you wish for.
A sick little challenge.
As the great Noel Gallagher said to the simpleton Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Useless. Absolutely useless.
The Moisey in. They want Moisey out.
Mourinho's rubbish. Conte's rubbish.
I've seen you both in the posh suit. Hello and welcome to episode 9 of the Sun's new football show, bringing you a fan-focused look at our beautiful game. I'm Will Pugh.
And I'm Izzy Barker, and this is Sun Sports Tap In.
Oh, yeah! Yeah. Woo, woo, woo.
We are all about the fans on the Tap In, and this week we're joined by another couple of football fanatics, but it's fair to say these two West Ham diehards have an added sprinkling of stardust.
That is right, Isabel. One is a hugely talented actor whose illustrious career has included cult classic roles in iconic British shows The Inbetweeners and The Office, while the other has been gracing our TV screens as a much-loved pundit in the 23 years since he retired as a professional footballer. It's David Shaw, a.k.a. Jay's dad from The Inbetweeners and former West Ham Lincoln striker, Tony Cutty! Thank you.
A bit of a three-run. Cutty now. Cutty! West Ham in the lead!
Oh, God. I'd give track number two a couple of minutes. I had eggs for lunch.
Bishop. That was a lovely ball through to Cutty. Onto his left. It's a great goal, and it's
managing a West Ham Legends team. What do you mean you can't do it?
Gentlemen, absolute pleasure to have you with us on the Tap In, and I assure you that's not just because they finally let me have two West Ham supporters guests on. How are you getting on?
I've got to say, I'm sitting here starstruck by Tony.
Oh, don't be like that. Don't
forget, forget actors. This guy's my hero.
Imagine how we feel.
I don't know what I did in a past life to be sat with three West Ham fans as a Fulham fan. I feel like I'm going to leave as a geezer. Right. Before we strap ourselves in for this, and I do everything in my power to stop this becoming a sickening West Ham love-in, I have to remind you guys at home that you can watch this week's episode on YouTube and listen as a podcast. And coming up, we will tackle the biggest stories in the week in What's the Score? We've got On or Off Target, where Dave gives one of the most important monologues of his career as he tries to get me and Will on side. The Top or Terrible Take section follows that. We'll have another 100-mile-per-hour game of Pressure Test, where Tony tries to prove he's still got top-level ball skills and footy knowledge to match. And, of course, we'll kick off the latest round of our new Mystery Player Picture game. Who are ya?
Who are ya?
Look, gents, it's been a bit of a bleak week for West Ham supporters. Before anyone says, by the way, that you're a fan-first show on the Tap In, why have you got two A-listers on the sofa? Both of you, have you not, have got season tickets to West Ham and go home and away, you know?
Yes.
You are regular cast iron hammers.
And can I confirm I pay for mine? I don't get anything. Despite playing for the club, I pay
for mine.
I don't know about you, Dave. If I get a complimentary, but I pay for my one.
I've seen you both in the posh sheets. Of all the European
I'm case. In the posh sheets. I'm not disputing that.
He was in hospitality at Fulham as well.
They get all over the place. But listen, look, Tony, you and I were out in Germany this week for that Freiburg game, Europa League, last 16. And I know all three of us were at that pretty grim 2-2 draw against Bernie. You were then bottom of the table. Tony, I also noticed you cunningly managed to work out the how do I get away with going to football on Mother's Day, and you brought your lovely mum along with you, didn't you?
My mum, she's 84 now, my mum, and she loved it, absolutely loved it. And yeah, you can see a picture before the game there, and look, all smiles here before the game. Like after the game, he wasn't smiling
so
much.
That certainly wasn't half time.
My mum's very much a massive West Ham fan. My dad was a massive West Ham fan. all the family, etc. So, like, they brainwashed me from a very young age. And it's just, you know, it's a pleasure to take my mark.
Listen, briefly, gents, we'll have plenty of time to talk about our beloved Hammers later on in the show. But just quickly, how are you finding it? Dave, we'll start with you first. How are you finding it being a West Ham fan at the moment?
Well, it's very up and down, isn't it? I mean, after the glory of last season, I mean, I'm still on a high from that cup win, I have to say. And after taunting Arsenal fans particularly, as they gave me stick on Twitter about Declan Rice, I was saying, when's the last European trophy you won? But, yeah, so that's great fun, taunting the opposition. But the football has been very up and down. I mean, Sunday's game, the first half, I felt like going home, to be honest. And but the second half, we came out, played 4-4-2. Put some attacking players on the pitch and actually attacked.
Oh, a little birdie told me you did leave early and miss the equaliser.
I did.
Tony, what about you?
I stayed to the end, unlike some people.
Yeah. Well,
I
was proper fan. Yeah, proper fan.
Yeah, it's interesting times as a Hammer. I think those of us that are old enough or with a longer memory will realise that it's not always been this good for West Ham. And I think sometimes you should take a deep breath and just enjoy the ride, you know, because West Ham historically have been a yo-yo club. You know, there have been lots of bad times, not so many good times. So the last three or four seasons under David Moyes, in my opinion, it's been great to be a West Ham fan. And you can give stick to the other London clubs, etc., because we've been doing really well. And it's important to remember that.
Right, gents, we always kick off the show properly with What's the Score. We talk about a couple of topical issues that football fans up and down the land will be talking about, not just Hammers fans this week. And there's only one place to start, basically. The title race, Liverpool and Man City played out that 1-1 draw at Anfield on the weekend. Arsenal were left beaming from ear to ear because it left them top. 1 point separates all three of the clubs. And there's a nice little story around all of them, isn't there? City chasing a record fourth consecutive Premier League title. Jurgen Klopp is leaving Liverpool at the end of the campaign, so Liverpool want to bid a fairy tale farewell to him. And of course, you've got Arsenal, who haven't won a title. It would be 20 years since that famous Invincibles season. It is actually a genuine title race for a change, and not just one Sky and TNT Sports tried to big up to make us watch the TV and pay the subscriptions. I mean, just first of all, Tony, we'll start with you. What are you making of it?
Well, I think it's very exciting, Will. That's the first thing. You know, I mean, as you quite rightly said there, we've had plenty of times where it's just been a one-horse race or a two-horse race. But to genuinely have three clubs in the title hunt, it's difficult for me because, like, as a neutral fan, I'm talking about West Ham, obviously, because we're never involved in the title race. So I'm a neutral in all this. And I think Man City would be a wonderful achievement for them to win four on the spin. But I don't think that's good for football. I think you want to see someone fresh win it. You know, having played for Everton, I don't particularly want to see Liverpool win it, obviously. And then as a West Ham fan, you don't really want to see Arsenal win it. So it's very difficult for me to comment on it. But I think Arsenal would have learnt from their experiences last year. You know, they perhaps should have done a little bit better last year, but a very young squad. And I think they're going to go a lot closer this year. But you can see all you've got to do is look at the Arsenal one there, look at their next league game. That's going to be a key game. There's no doubt about that. Man City away.
Izzy, I don't know about you. I always think when it comes to stuff like that, I just think, which team do I want to win? OK, which team's fans will be the most insufferable?
Yeah. What's the answer?
Oh, it's Arsenal.
Arsenal.
Every day of the week. Yeah, that's what I always think. It doesn't matter if City win it, because I don't know too many City fans. And they just seem
they're
a bit
quiet anyway.
Yeah.
But you mentioned those fixtures. I think it is all three of them have six games left against top half teams. You look at that Man City game on March 31st for Arsenal. But how sort of crucial is that kind of run of fixtures in deciding
it? Not been funny, but Arsenal have got five of them are away against the top half teams, whereas I think City and Liverpool's of their games against the top half teams have only got three away. Man City have got two, and you feel like that's where it's going to come down to.
You could possibly argue Arsenal have got the toughest run in. You know, Man City, wonderful achievement, won the Champions League last year. Liverpool have won it before. I know Arsenal haven't won the Champions League and they will want to do well in the competition, but they'll have their eyes on that. You know, 20 years for Arsenal not to win the league, it's probably one of the longest times in their history that they haven't won the league. So they're under a bit of pressure.
Yeah, it'd be a real shame, wouldn't it, if that home defeat to West Ham at the Emirates was what helped them.
It's been terrible for them, wouldn't it?
It's been brilliant so far. Every time we talk about something, it comes from the West Ham.
That's what I'm here for, Tate. I must admit, I find it much easier to do with you two on the sofa than when we have a Fulham guest or whatever. And they're like, shut up, mate, we don't care.
Fulham beat Arsenal as well.
Right, it's my favourite part of the show. Once again, Isabel, you know why that is, because I get to point at guests and go, ooh, yeah, even though I know, even though I know exactly who you two are. I do feel a little bit ruder than I usually do doing it this week. But quite simple. You're going to get, there's three rounds. You'll get a blurry picture of a former Premier League player up on the screen.
Former Premier League player.
Right. Yeah, you get 40 seconds on the clock. And as the time goes down, the picture gets clearer and you get four clues. The first one is the first club they ever played for. The second clue is the last club they ever played for. The third one is the team for whom they played the most Premier League games. And the last one is their nationality. The picture gets clearer. The quicker you get it, the more points you get. You get the amount of points as seconds that are left on the clock. As you can see, we've had one outstanding performer and two questionable.
Slight difference, isn't it?
I feel like it reflects their teams. Johnny's from City, then Craig was Bournemouth, and then Dee just lost the plot with Crystal Palace.
He did, yeah. Yeah. We may or may not have made the game slightly easier since the first two rounds. Yeah.
This section is for the podcast only. A little bit closer to home, we are focusing on Calvin Phillips. Okay. You guys were all at that Burnley game, weren't you? He was dragged off at half-time. West Ham, obviously 2-0 down on Sunday, gave away a goal just minutes into his debut, sent off two games later against Forest. Hopes of a Euro spot just seem to be in tatters, really. Been an awful start to life in East London. West Ham's Sun Sport correspondent Jack Rosser wrote a really detailed piece on Sun Football Online yesterday. And here is what he told the Tap-In about Phillips's awful start to life at West Ham.
Calvin Phillips moved to West Ham to salvage his England career ahead of this summer's Euros in Germany. But the move has left his hopes of a call-up hanging by a thread. It was his performances for England that convinced David Moyes he would be a good January signing for West Ham, despite the fact he spent the last 18 months on the bench at Manchester City. There was an acceptance that it would take a few games to get back up to speed, but few saw it going this wrong so quickly in London. Phillips handed Bournemouth a goal with his second touch as a West Ham player on his debut. He was sent off at Nottingham Forest and then hauled off at half-time against Burnley, with Gareth Southgate watching on from the stands on Sunday. Southgate has always been loyal to Phillips, especially throughout his struggles at Manchester City. That stems from the fact that the former Leeds man was a star as England reached the finals of the last European Championships in 2021. But his form since getting back to actually playing again has left his England place in doubt. It would have been hard to believe it at the time when Southgate told Phillips he needed to leave Man City to stay in the England picture, but Phillips would have a better shot at making the squad from City's bench than he does playing in West Ham's midfield at the moment. There's still time to salvage it, but whether David Moyes can trust Phillips enough to keep starting him when they're fighting for Europe in the Premier League and to get through in the Europa League is another question altogether.
So, what is the score with Calvin Phillips?
Yeah, I mean, I must admit, I feel for the lad a little bit because, you know, it was his big move, wasn't it? Dream move going to Man City. He didn't play the games for whatever reason. Whether he is a Pep player, that's a different discussion. You know, but West Ham have given him a lifeline, and the problem is he's not fit. And you know, I know as an ex-player, you could be as fit as you want to be in training, but when all the other players have played 30 games this season and you've not played one game, it takes you six games to get up to speed. And as we just heard with the interview there, in his first game he gave the ball away, and then he got left out for his second game, which meant he didn't get the six games on the trot he needed to get up to full fitness. And now it's, I don't know where David Moyes goes with it now, because it's very hard to say that Calvin Phillips can play in the current West Ham team because he's not fit. But how's he going to get fit if you don't play him? So the way it's going, I personally can just see Calvin, unfortunately, he'll probably be on the bench for the rest of the season and then he'll go back to Man City. It just hasn't worked out for him so far. It can happen in football.
He signed a six-year deal at City, didn't he? I think two and a half years ago that was. Yeah, July 2022, he moved there. Mm. I don't know. What would you make of the signing, Dave? Obviously, what Tony said there, you sort of go, you know, it seemed almost obvious that it was going to take him a while. There might have been a mental hangover. He's talked quite openly about how difficult it was being left out for so long at City. When the signing was made, were you excited for West Ham, or did you think...
I didn't think we needed him. Mm. I mean, you know, we sold Fornals and Benrahma. Why didn't we sign forward players? So that's the thing. And Alvarez has been fantastic.
Very good, yeah.
Since he came. I don't see why we signed him.
Suček's been playing well this season as well, hasn't he?
Yeah, Suček's been...
In his own way.
Yeah, well, he's scored a few goals. He's been fantastic. But for me, Phillips, he can't run, he can't tackle, and he can't pass.
Didn't it cost you guys
that, like? It's an absolute must.
Hasn't the loan cost you around 5 to 6 million anyway?
Well,
it would have cost West Ham a lot of money. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the one thing that will be very, very interesting, we've got Gareth Southgate announcing his England squad on Thursday, and I've got to say, if Calvin Phillips is in the England squad, it's an absolute joke because you have to pick. And in my day when I played, you pick players that are current form and playing regularly for their team. You know, and Calvin, I'm not saying he's not a good player. I'm just saying if he's in the England squad when he hasn't performed for West Ham, you know, what does that say to other players that are playing well? You know, if for example, he leaves Cole Palmer out, who's been sensational at Chelsea. And this is the problem Calvin Phillips has got, getting into that England squad for the Euros. You know, if he's playing well and performing, you could argue he might have a place in the squad. But at the moment, you can't see him getting anywhere near it.
I mean, you sense, don't you, with England, you know what Southgate's like. It'll be Bellingham and Rice plus one in the middle. Mm-hmm. When we play against the perceived, you know, lesser teams, perhaps the Serbia, in that first game, you sort of feel like maybe he can afford to have Foden in the third one. But if we get deep...
What do you mean maybe? If he's not playing Phil Foden, we're all in trouble. Well, yeah, he's our best player. Honestly, Will.
Like, no, I
just,
agree.
You know, you,
but Southgate doesn't always take
it. Yeah, I know
he?
What you're saying. If you're playing against a so-called lesser team, you have one holding midfield player. You know, Southgate has played Rice and Phillips as two holding players against teams that aren't as good as us. You know, it might help us, won't it?
It'll be deeper into the competition when we start. Hopefully, get deep in the competition, play bigger, better teams.
Well, we've got the best team, the best squad. Just go out and take the game to them. If we go out and perform and just say to Declan, you're in charge of defensive duty. Sit in front of the two centre halves. Everyone else charge forward. We will win the Euros, no problem.
There we go. Gareth Southgate, watch out for your
team. Yeah, he's got to take some chances, hasn't he? And that's why I say it'll be very interesting on Thursday to see his squad, to see whether Phillips is in it, see whether Cole Palmer's in it, all these players and that. Because he's only got these the last two games before the Euros. It might be a couple at the end of the season. But, you know, to look and experiment and that, you know, just get players in, get Cole Palmer in. We know what Calvin Phillips can do when he's fit. Have a look at Cole Palmer.
You sense it'll be like Phillips or Henderson, do you think? Because that
oh, for me, no, I wouldn't take either of them.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think you need to.
Who would you take, Tom?
I would have Declan Rice as a holding midfielder. You've then got John Stones, who can play in midfield. Trent can play in midfield. You've got plenty of players that can go and play in midfield. I don't think we need to have too many defence, because if you take too many defensive midfielders, you're leaving out all the star quality players in that. You know, if he's fit and playing, Jack Grealish, for example, he can come on and win a game. James Maddison can come on and win a game. We've got incredible talent. We should be very proud of the English players we've got. Just go out and take a chance. Go and win a tournament. Yeah, this is our time.
You might be absolutely right there, but it's hard to sort of feel that with Gareth Southgate's track record, he's that little bit more pragmatic, isn't he?
That's what happens when you put a defender in charge of national team. You know what I mean? Same with David Moyes at West Ham sometimes. Attack.
Let's get Kevin Keegan back. Let's have nine up front and two in defence.
We will love it. We will love it.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Right, Dave, this is on or off target. You've got 60 seconds to tell us about the thing you hate most about football and why Izzy and I should feel exactly the same way as you. Then afterwards, we'll tell you whether it's on or off target.
Mm.
My pet hate is supporters from other teams, and actually West Ham as well, saying that the Europa Conference League was a Mickey Mouse trophy. How dare they say it was a Mickey Mouse trophy? West Ham are European champions, unlike Arsenal, unlike Tottenham, and unlike a lot of the other club supporters who have been attacking me. As the great Noel Gallagher said to the simpleton Trent Alexander-Arnold, that every team's supporters, apart from West Ham apparently, support their club when they win things. It means as much to any supporter of West Ham as it does to Liverpool, as it does to Manchester City. We have got European pedigree as well. Let's look at the evidence. We went 17 games unbeaten in Europe. That record has only just been surpassed by the all-conquering Man City team, who just got up to 80. But we're better than Tottenham. We're better than Leeds' record. We're better than Liverpool. We're better than Man United. 17 games in Europe unbeaten. And if you're saying that we beat some Mickey Mouse teams en route... Is that it? Yeah. I'd only just started.
Definitely on target, because as a Fulham fan, I remember well when we won the Intertoto Cup in 2002 and we booked a spot in the UEFA Cup the season after. So many happy, glittering memories as a Fulham fan. So definitely on target for me.
Of course it's on target. Champions of Europe, we know what we are. Right, gentlemen, this is the top or terrible take section, but rather than rest on our laurels and just call it that, we have to flex our headline writing muscles. And, what we do, we take the name of the manager of the team you support and crassly twist it into a couple of puns that loosely resemble the words good or bad. So, buckle up, and I present to you Moy Bien or Oh My Daves. Oh, dear. Someone will laugh at one of those one day.
It's quite simple. Basically, we give you a take about your club and you decide whether it is Moy Bien or Oh My Daves. And
Bien's good, is it?
Moy Bien is
good. Yeah, so obvious.
I thought I'd confirm that.
It's Muy Bien in Espanol, so, yeah.
So, West Ham fans have been doing the David Moyes karaoke, the Moyes E in. They want Moyes E out for what's... seems like months now, but West Ham seventh in the Premier League, still in the Europa League just about at time of recording. Three seasons in Europe for the first time in their history consecutively. Before we get your thoughts, here's what TalkSport's Jeff Stelling had to say about the issue.
Is this the same David Moyes who won a European trophy for West Ham and has got them in the top 10 of the Premier League? Russell, you're losing a grip on reality, for goodness sake. You're doing brilliantly. OK, not at the weekend, but by and large, you're doing brilliantly. Get a grip, son.
Jeff got a lot of grief on Twitter from a few Hammers fans for that the other day, but Dave will come to you first. The take is David Moyes is the greatest manager West Ham have had in the modern era. Their fans are treating him terribly and do not deserve him. Moy Bien or an Oh My Daves take?
Moy Bien. I totally agree. We've qualified for Europe, what is it, four seasons now? We went
three, seven. Hopefully four, yeah.
Yeah, see, it will be. It will be four. Don't worry about that. And 17 games unbeaten in Europe. I have seen some of the best wins, like the 3-0 win in Lyon, like beating Seville at home. It's given me so much pleasure the last few seasons to watch West Ham. OK, I understand the style of football at times isn't what the purists want to see. But what's more important, winning a trophy or playing idyllically attractive football?
Tony?
Moy Bien. For me as well, yeah. I'm a Moyes fan, I always have been. And, you look at West Ham managers that have won things, talking about the great John Lyle, the great Ron Greenwood, and David Moyes. He's on that list, you know. He's probably our, in my opinion, our third best manager in our history. You know, there's been about 20 West Ham managers, I think, something like that now. So, I sort of echo what Dave said, really. You know, I just think that you've got to be careful what you wish for, you know. It's all right saying... Well, we always say to people, I get it. I understand the conversation, Moyes in, Moyes out and all that. And when people say, I want Moyes out, well, who do you want? And no one's ever got an answer. No one can ever produce anyone who's better. You know, let's put it another way. Moyes' first spell, we got rid of David Moyes, we're getting Pellegrini. Useless, absolutely useless. But apparently he was a world-class manager. And then we spent a load of money, end up in trouble. What do you do? Oh, let's get David Moyes back.
And look,
so you've got
done.
To be very, very careful. Yeah, you know, at the end of the season, if David makes his mind up to leave, thanks very much, Dave. You've done a great job and we'll all be pleased with what he's done and that. Who do you replace him with? And that's always the argument.
What actually is the West Ham way?
I can tell you that, Izzy. Do you want me to answer that?
Yeah.
In the words of my dad, we play good football, we win the occasional cup, and depending on what division you're in, you beat Tottenham or Millwall. That is the West Ham way. Well, we've beaten Tottenham and we won a trophy. It's just the football, which is the point Dave made, which is a good point. And we all want to see good football. Look at Tottenham. They're all moaning. Mourinho's rubbish. Conte's rubbish. Let's get Angie in. They're playing great football. Are they going to win anything, though? Are they going to win anything? We don't know the answer to that, you know. So you just, with football, everything's very opinionated and instant nowadays. And every fan's entitled to their opinion. I just think as a West Ham fan, I'll be very, very reluctant to move David Moyes on.
Right, second one might ruffle a few feathers. The London Stadium, obviously you guys were stripped of your spiritual home, Upton Park, in 2016, sent kicking and screaming to the London Stadium. Obviously, it was a stadium designed for, not for football, for athletics. It makes that, the sort of temporary feel of the stadium means that there's this huge gap between the seats and the ground. It seems like some fans can't actually watch the football on the pitch. And every week, away fans are heard singing this. Obviously, you on the flip side, you look at attendances and they've actually doubled. I think it's, 34,000 to 60,000. And obviously, you know, you would say that the fortunes of your club have improved during this time at this new stadium. So the take is West Ham are far better off at the London Stadium than at Upton Park. And it's nowhere near as bad as fans make out. Muy bien or oh my Daves.
Well, I'll go Moy Bien because I actually love the stadium. I think the stadium's fantastic. It's a wonderful, wonderful stadium. Is it a football stadium? No, you've already made the point. It was built for athletics. West Ham have picked up the pieces and they've done their best. You know, they've squared it off behind the goals. They've increased the attendance. It's going up to 66,000 as well because there's still a waiting list for West Ham fans. Would they have won the Conference League if they'd have stayed at Upton Park? I don't think we'll ever know the answer to that. The only thing I would say is that Upton Park was probably worth 10 points before you'd even started the season because it was so intimidating. It was hostile. Other players didn't want to play there and we got lots of points off the back of that. You know, when you come to the London Stadium, it's like, oh, what a lovely stadium.
Very
and
pleasant.
Let's have a nice, very pleasant. Let's have a nice time.
Right, number three. David Gold and David Sullivan bought West Ham in 2010 when Egert Magnusson and his Icelandic cohort nearly dragged the club to the brink of liquidation. The first decade under GSB, as they were called, saw some pretty rank years under Avraham Grant, Sam Allardyce. That included a relegation, of course, and also the widely unpopular move away from a spiritual home, really, of Upton Park. And after a flash in the pan success season under Slaven Bilic in that last year, it didn't get any better once the move to the London Stadium had been made, and that culminated, of course, in mass protests and the pitch invasion we all remember against Burnley, fans planting corner flags, Mark Noble being forced to wrestle fans off of the pitch. But having fired and then rehired David Moyes in between that spell with Manuel Pellegrini, the glory days have finally returned to East London. So the take is, Tony, will come to you first. David Sullivan is actually the best thing to have happened to West Ham and the club would not have achieved what they have without him.
Oh, my Daves. they've done some decent things, but I don't know. I personally think it's time for change. But come back to what I said about the manager. It's all right changing the manager, but you've got to be careful who you're getting. I think the same applies to the current owners. You know, I think they've done their 14 years now They have done some good things. There's also been a lot of things that have been very unpopular with the fans. And I think in general, if you spoke to the fans, in general, most of them would want to change at board level now in terms of new ownership. But you've got to be careful. There's some really, really good owners out there and there's some really, really bad owners. And for West Ham to change, don't forget it's under British ownership as well at the moment. Do you want it to go under foreign ownership? We had the Icelandics before, as you mentioned. So just got to be a little bit careful with that. But I think we're getting to the stage now, particularly now that David Gold's gone. David Gold was a very, very nice man, and you know, someone I got on very well with and genuinely cared about the club. And, you know, Davey's not part, he's not around anymore now. So I think we will see some changes over the next probably year or so.
Dave, Tony's obviously mentioned their potential foreign ownership. Czech billionaire Daniel Kretinsky is now a shareholder. Rumours about whether he might take away. Tony was involved with an attempted takeover by Pi Capital not too long ago as well. What are your thoughts?
I'd have to say on my Dave's as well, because GSB was so unpopular. And that game that you're talking about, there was like a mutinous atmosphere in the ground. And to be honest, I think they should have gone then. But they just got lucky, rehired Moyes, and he's done it single-handedly, despite the board. Yeah. I mean, OK, they've brought in Tim Stuyten now, who has helped bring in Alvarez and the other signings that we made as well. But I think they're so unpopular.
There's only one person who gives permission for those transfers, Dave.
Who's that?
That's David Moyes.
There you go. So let's give Moyes all the credit then. So I do think because they've rehired Moyes, they've fluked the fans getting on side. But, you know, they really should have gone when we were all demonstrating during the Burnley game.
In David Sullivan's defence, I suppose, it isn't David Moyes coughing up the cash, is it?
No, but, you know, if you're going to take on a Premier League club, you've got to have some money, you've got to pay for it.
Also, you've got to have people skills as well. I know I talk about Fulham, but Marco Silva does all the groundwork for good signings. He's completely transformed the club. All right, they have the money, but the manager can make a massive difference.
In general, West Ham are in a good place at the moment, but I do think that we might see some changes. It could be at managerial level, it could be at ball level, it could be both at the end of the season. I think we've all got to watch this space. But as I keep saying, just everyone be careful what you wish for, because it's a dangerous route to go down. If you get the wrong manager and the wrong board, you know where you can end up.
Absolutely. I suppose, you know, from the club's point of view, David Sullivan's point of view, he would argue that for as much of the grief that he and the flack that he took for some objectively bad decisions, that perhaps he's due a bit of credit for the success they've seen on the pitch as well. But that is an argument that not many fans are putting forward, I don't think.
Right, so I think that was 2-1 to Moybien. Even though I loved you saying, oh, my babes, I've got to say, it was great. But I think that is it for this episode, isn't it? So thank you so much to the amazing Tony Conte and David Charles.
And thank you to you guys for tuning in. Don't forget, you can listen to this week's episode as a podcast. So make sure to follow the Tapping on all your major platforms. Subscribe to Sun Sport's YouTube channel. Get stuck in the comments. Check out the previous 8 episodes. And we'll see you next time.
See ya.
Woohoo! Go to Tapping!
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.